Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Vibe to the soundtrack of your soul. With every beat and lyric, we'll move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. This episode of The Authentic Life with KL is brought to you by Break the Silence, a nonprofit created using music as a platform to raise awareness for mental health, suicide prevention, and recovery of all kinds, offering hope and starting the hard conversations to bring communities together. Hey guys, it's Kitty and Rebel tonight. We are talking about the voice inside your head and how it's not yours. We're not talking about voices inside our heads. We're talking about the voice inside our head. Something that every single one of us lives with, and almost nobody was taught how to understand it or how to even navigate around it. That voice inside your head, the one that narrates your life, the one that comments when you walk into a room, the one that whispers, "Don't say that, Rebel," and shouts, "You're not enough. You're not enough." Do you know that voice, Rebel?
I do. I know it very well.
Same.
And it knows me very well.
It likes to think it's our friend, but it's not so much our friend, is it?
No, it's not.
No, not at all. Not at all. So when you think about inner voice, what do you think about? What comes to your mind? What is that to you?
So for me, I was thinking that that's the inner critic, the inner judgment, the inner whatevers that are like the things that patterns that have been taught. So I've learned recently that it's all learned conditioning. You know, of picking up the room as soon as you walk in and knowing someone and knowing exactly who that person is that's angry before anybody says anything. You know, so it's all that learned conditioning. But to me, it would be that inner critic or the judgmental side, or they're not going to like me, you know, that fear of abandonment type voice.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the one I'm most familiar with lately is trying to navigate through changes within what we're all doing. And it's like, and things like that. There's that one. But then I will say, especially women, but all everyone is, this is pretty inclusive on the looks that you have inside, you know, that tells you you don't look like everyone else. I don't look like everyone else. So it's kind of true, but it tells you that you're not good enough. It makes you feel like you're not good enough. And to know that where we're at now versus where we were, say, 5 years ago, knowing it, to understand that that's not even you speaking those words is really impactful. And I think that's a huge part of growth. So if someone's just starting right now that journey, what would you say to them about it?
Buckle up, because it's
going to be a bumpy ride.
For me, the hardest part was becoming aware of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference between understanding what somebody's like saying as in a learning, you know, aspect, but it's one thing to understand it, and it was hard for me to even become aware of it even happening. So that for me, that was the hardest part, was becoming aware of it. After that, then it's, you know, you kind of have momentum. You steer that momentum from there, you know, to make that change. But for me, I think being aware of it was the hardest. So, I mean, it's not easy. I wouldn't, you know, it's not easy in any sense, especially if you've done it for decades.
Yeah. Yeah. And Too, I mean, I get now to where I'm like, oh, you sneaky little bitch. Like you, I, it's, you're just saying that, but that's not true. You know, so I think sometimes we have to get like spicy with our inner voice because it really is this culmination of things that we have observed or been around growing up. And that's not even pointing fingers at parents at anything. Like this is just what happens. Everybody has it. Some are very different than others, but
Right.
overall, I think as humanity, humans, I think I'm human. I don't, no, I don't think I'm human, but overall, us that live on this planet for the most part, we have all had the experience of feeling not good enough, of feeling like we don't belong, of that voice saying, don't do that, don't do it, you're going to get hurt. And that stands in our way so much. Like, even to this day, like, we are the biggest. We are the biggest boulder in front of us, and it's ourself. It's ourself, right?
A perfect example. I like to swim upstream,
You
and
do.
the highest rapids. I'm just a swimming.
You're trying real hard.
I'm trying to work up that muscle to just turn around,
No, it's gets a little wild with our inner voice. And also, if you're listening, I think something that is a misconception is often people think that the inner voice says, Rebel, hey, Rebel, you're not good enough. And Rebel, you shouldn't do that. Rebel. And it's not, it's, we've talked about feeling our emotions and sitting with it. And I think that when we talk about that, that is trying to understand what those, navigate what those emotions or what those feelings mean, not this actual per se verbiage that's being spoken. Sometimes it is, but not always.
Yeah, I think the sitting with it is kind of that's where I learned that I needed internal and external silence. To take that moment and just sit in it. Let the voice run, whatever it's saying, and not holding or putting energy into it, but just let it do its thing, but also sitting in the emotion. And if I needed to go, take a walk in nature during this time to just like disconnect for a minute, just I may not even know what I'm feeling. I just know I'm feeling it, But taking that moment to actually feel it, because my past history, I would numb it in a heartbeat. Like it wouldn't take hardly anybody to, trigger me at that point.
It's the uncomfortableness when we talk about the voice inside. Again, it doesn't often come up as like an actual voice. Usually it comes up as a feeling within the body or something of that nature, and you are left to navigate. So if you're not one that can sit with your own emotions, or if you're one that's had to regulate everyone else's emotions in your life, it's really hard to understand what, sit your ass down, feel what you're going to feel, what actually is this? And you'll be real surprised at the stuff that comes out if you will sit with it for a second.
Well, I think what made it easier for me to get to that point was doing my paranormal investigations because I had to feel and know my surroundings, for my own protection. So then the more I went out, the more in tuned I got with myself. Like, oh, chest is getting tight. What is that? You know what I mean? Because in that instance, it could be maybe they had heart problems and they're allowing you to feel that if I'm communicating with someone, but it could also be a warning. Same thing with hair standing up. That's an alert for me, like, oh, what's going on? Because my body is my best piece of equipment. So, doing more of the investigations, then I started seeing the correlation of my emotions and how I regulate out on investigations. So, that's what allowed me to be able to sit in it, You know, like when I get alert on investigation, okay, I hear you. We're gonna sit here a minute, and if it increases, then I'll leave. I'll respect it, you know, but I really need to know if what my alert is what I think it is, you
Right.
know. So it that allowed me to start being able to notice my emotional state within my body at the same time. And then I can go into the voice of why it's telling me what it's telling me in that conditioning. So
Yeah.
that's kind of how mine broke down, was I learned myself out in the field, but yet then I was able to start doing that on the emotional side of things as well.
Yeah, I think that was probably really beneficial for you because you, I don't know if you've had this, but I would imagine if it was me that you would have these times like, I'm so good out here in the paranormal regulating and feeling, and then I have me right here. So, but this is you doing it here is proof that you can do it, you know? And so many
Right.
times we think that we can't because we don't feel those emotions, but you doing it is proof that you absolutely could. And so that's empowering to be able to see somewhere in your life that you did.
And absolutely, and you know, it's also on the other front of me doing my own healing. And now teaching on, you know, in our classes, that I can correlate all of that into who I'm talking to in the investigations. You know, so it's kind of both worlds intertwining for me, because, you know, one helped here, but then this one helps that one, you know. So it kind of all encompasses everything for me at that point.
Was there a point in your life where trusting your inner voice became harder and you started to question yourself more so or differently than you did before?
I would say it was harder in the addiction, because no matter how much I truly wanted help, it was the brain being rewired to have that first above anything else. But I know if I didn't do anything, it would just get worse, and I'm already at a worse. You know what I mean? Like, it's so it was that circle. You know, I wanted help, but because I wasn't capable or didn't know how to get the help, I would just go back out for my addiction, you know? So that was probably the hardest. And then probably on the lighter side of things, I would say being able to intertwine with my investigation and learning to sit and recognize what's going on with my own energy when the emotions, you know, kick up or I get triggered or anything like that, because as we've learned recently, that the body alerts before the mind ever processes, you know. So it's just trying to learn me, in a sense, to be able to just notice these things. And then once I notice it, that's when I'm able to start being more aware of it, or ask the question, is this this or is this that? You know, because in my healing, I thought it's one thing, and then it's like, oh man, that's gross, because it's way deeper than what I ever thought, you know, what it would be.
Yeah, it can be. And I think when we talk about shadow work and things like that, I know you and I, well, we dive deeper into like, well, what is it? Is it this? Is it this? You know, behind scenes.
Right.
But I think that when people, when they hear the word shadow work or they talk about emotional regulation or the inner voice or any of that, some people just think it's mumbo jumbo or, you know, whatever. But I think that your inner child truly is locked inside, and it tells you all those things to keep you protected. It's almost like a wounded warrior, that's in there, and it's pretty consistently trying to save you from the pain, right? I think our subconscious recognizes, and all of us who are neurodivergent, right? We can recognize patterns like crazy. We see it, but our subconscious recognizes beforehand and then says, "Hey, rebel, do you feel that? You need to not do that. You need to get out. This is dangerous. You're going to get hurt. It's going to fail again. It's not going to happen. You're not going to feel joy for very long because it's going to screw up." And it's literally a whole different person. It's you from a long time ago talking and living as if they are you right now. And that's where there's that divider in, like you feel like you have two different personalities for real, because you're like, I've healed. I've done really good. Like I'm not fully healed, but right, I know what to say. That's why when you and I talk sometimes, I'm like, I know all the answers to it, but I still gotta sit here and crap. I get
Yeah,
it.
right.
I get it. But it's us allowing that inner us that just overrides everything that we have to come in to say, you can't do this, you're gonna fail, you're gonna do that, you're gonna do that. And I think that once we realize that that is someone from a very long time ago trying to control our life right now as if it's the same thing. And I'm like, I got you, little kitty, right? It's okay.
Right.
Like, no one's gonna hurt you anymore. But it's
Yeah.
still, the more you do it and the smaller things you do that you get through, you get that confidence. And then I think it just reboots or changes up your nervous system a little bit. It's not perfect by any means. I'm still gonna spaz out, but
Right.
I'm way more aware of it. And that's the weird part because, we could say what's wrong, and I'm like, well, right now I'm overwhelmed having a spaz out. I'll be fine. Just let me breathe. But it's true.
It is true. It's
Right?
very true. Like, we know what's going on, but we're, like you said, we still got to go through it. We got to go through the motions. Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to change the way that you say things to yourself. And that was a new thing for me. We say you have to change the way you say things to yourself, even though your inner voice doesn't really actually say words to you. It usually and so it's a language we understand.
Right,
But
right.
like we say, you change the language that you speak to yourself. You don't often say, kitty, you suck. Like, I mean, sometimes also,
Right.
but like not in the serious way of like, you know what? This feels uncomfortable. This feels uncomfortable. You need to go run and hide, and all those things. And so you have to say, instead of saying like, you're failing or you can't do that. Say, I'm learning, or this didn't work yet, and you have to really reframe the way that you speak back to the feelings and the energy and the subconscious.
Absolutely.
What are
Absolutely.
some things you say to yourself
That my inner voice says, or that I say to
that
myself?
you say to your
I
little, like, stop messing with me today?
other day at the lake, when my little was screaming and having a meltdown, yeah, on the ride home, I was doing breathing exercises, like telling her she's okay, that we got this, like, I have you, we're not that same person anymore, just pretty much talking her down as if I was the person I needed on the age of what she's screaming from. That I can now be that person for her.
I think that is the trajectory of where we all, as we're going through healing and growing and helping each other, I think it is we turn into the person that we needed. And I think that that's a really beautiful thing that we get to do.
Yeah, and I know for me, like, looking back at the things that I have gotten through and survived, It's humbling, to be able to say, I got you today, because I'm like, man, look at all that. That's crazy, but today I'm grateful that I can be that for her.
It's really nice to, and this doesn't have, it's not 100%, guys. When we're talking about it, we're not saying, I am so glad I'm healed. I can do this all the time.
Yeah,
So good. I'm
no,
so great. But to be able to say, like, wow, like, do you know what your life will be like? Like, to even consider, going back and telling your inner child, inner teenager, what wherever you want to go, how really amazing your life can be, and to not worry so much, right?
absolutely.
Don't worry so much about it, because when you're a teenager and a child, a lot of times you don't worry about things out loud. A teenager's, well, everything, so it doesn't matter. But it's like you don't understand how wonderful your life really can be, and all the great things that are going to come around the corner for you when you least expect it.
Absolutely.
So, how do you personally tell the difference between intuition and fear?
So this is kind of where my paranormal meets emotions. With this, every time I've had my intuition speak to me, and it's not a voice like I would consider my inner voice, it comes in neutral, whether it's good, what I would classify being human, good, bad, warning, alert. But you know what I mean? It's always been neutral. Even if it is a warning and like emergency message, it always comes in neutral. It's not, there's no emotion tied to it. So when I think about, the vibration of fear being the lower vibration, that's going to be your anger, your resentment, your depression, grief, shame. Anything like that that pulls the vibration lower, then that's going to be the emotion side of it. So for me, the intuition is always neutral. It never comes in frantic. It never comes in, so if I'm having, the headaches or, the stomach just in a knot, nausea. The sweats, like whatever it is, you know what I mean? I know that is not my intuition because it always comes in at just a factual thing, and it doesn't hold a good or negative, a good, bad, positive, negative energy to it.
More like a fact. It feels more like someone saying, "This is a fact."
Right.
It's
Yeah.
nothing more than a fact. Yeah, I think on mine, definitely intuition is grounded, and it comes through, and I know. Right, I know, and I just hear it, and I know, like, I know without a shadow of a doubt that's what it is. The
Right.
fear, of course, is the anger. It is the I can't do it. It's being scared. It's being
The fear of abandonment.
self-sabotagey, fear of
Yeah.
abandonment, all those things. But I think that being said, the biggest challenge for me, I won't say on the regular now, but has been intuition comes in. Kitty, you're gonna make a podcast. And Nick, yes, you're gonna do a podcast. Like, it's you can have like intuition and fear speaking to you at the same time, but the intuition is the fact for me. It's like I know that this is what I need to do. I know I'm being called to do it. I know that doors will open for this. Now, the fear of that means I'm gonna have to be seen. That means I'm gonna have to put big girl panties on and pull them up and do, what I know I need to do. Because the alternative of going against my intuition is never a good thing. It never ends good.
No, and I always, go against mine all the time. And then now I'm like, well, if I'm teaching this, and like even on the investigations, I have to listen to it. I have to. Otherwise, I could be bringing things home, things attaching and wreaking havoc and all sorts of,
Making you have a bad
precautions.
attitude.
Yeah.
Very much, very much. And we talked a little bit about this, but I want to dive a little bit more into maybe what the feelings that you have. How much does the body play a role when it comes into your inner knowing? And we can talk about the intuition. How does that feel for you versus the fear physically? I know you talked about stomach ache, but like with me, I'll have like everybody knows because I break out in hives. Everybody can see it. I'll have heart stuff. Like I will get super agitated, and if you're not careful, I think it can like throw you over into depression and not knowing. That's why it's important to sit with it. But what about you when it's fear?
So when it's like fear-based or emotion-based, usually my stomach's usually the first thing. Of course, I have stomach issues. However, it gets really bad. If I say, my stomach's bad because of my nerves, it's emotions. It like that's the first place it goes to is my stomach. But I do get the muscle spasms. I do start sweating, the heart palpitations, that impending doom feeling.
Oh.
Things like that, but I also have to be able to distinguish between what's the emotional and what's the, something else like on investigations. So then I have to be able to regulate that even further. So, but yeah, I would say that mainly like the muscle spasms. See, headaches, tight chest. Those are a couple more. Yeah. Like
Neck, you covered
I
your
could just
neck.
keep going and going, like sitting like this.
Yeah, I
You
can't
know
move
what I
my neck. I'm
mean?
too
And you're like,
stressed.
man, why are my shoulders hurt? And then you're like, oh, because they're up to my ears. Like, let's relax those.
Yeah, and that physical part is very real because you'll find yourself, and we talked about this in class the other night, talked about like you're doing a body scan. If you need something to help you, like right this minute, then start with a body scan from like your toes up or your head down. And I was like, sometimes Rebel will be like, "Are you breathing?"
I
I myself,
do
I'm
it
not breathing. I'm,
too.
and it, you know, I'm just sitting there listening or whatever, and there's no breath to be taken. But there was that, there
I've
was
called
no
her,
breathing.
yeah. I've called her and I'm like, man, I was sitting here not, oh, next thing I realize, I'm not breathing. Yeah.
Yeah, you just hold
And
your
I could just
breath.
be watching TV.
I'll catch myself doing it driving to work. Of course, I hate to drive, so it makes sense. But some of them were shoulders, some of them were stomach. But it was do a body scan from your head to your toes, and don't go into it with trying to fix it. Go into it with trying to just get information. Like, how stressed are you? How is your inner voice talking to you? You know, start from your head, go down, like shoulders are tight. All right, shoulders are tight, and keep going down, keep going down, and kind of use it as information, you know. And then once you know, then you can loosen your shoulders up, or you can breathe, for example. You can breathe, it's a good thing. It's a good
You'll be
thing.
dead if you breathe.
It's good to breathe.
Yeah.
For anyone listening who feels disconnected from their inner voice, what are some ways to build trust with yourself?
I mean, like, mine would be the getting to know yourself, and actually to get to know myself, I started with the body scans. Like I would drive out to an investigation, and before I got out of the car, I would do a quick body scan to just see, okay, left knee's hurting, got a little ache to it. It's probably fixed from rain, but anyway,
Oh, barometric pressure.
and it'd be something as little as, the sock line is under my toe on top of it, but just that, just awareness of being in the moment and just sitting within yourself, because that's what allowed that internal external silence to get rid of that noise and be able to just sit there. And then even in, like a gentle reframing, like if I'm having an issue with a friend, say we're arguing about something, whatever, there's drama, whatever the case may be, it's that gentle reframe to where maybe I would have gotten angry before, but now I notice that I was angry before, and every time before that, maybe I take a breath when they trigger me if it goes that route again on this situation. So just being able to notice within yourself, and then to be able to start to work on that reframe on your own responses.
It's all interconnected. I know we said we're talking about the inner voice, but the inner voice is literally what is pushing you forward and getting out of bed with you in the morning and saying everything that you're not saying out loud. It's like your little robot inside of you that if you're not paying attention, you're on autopilot. And that's where becoming aware and learning what your feelings and your body and all those different things, and that's just becoming aware. And then you can work on kind of talking to yourself differently. It's just all interconnected.
It
It is, it is. All right, so I am going to go through real quick here a couple of other things. We talked about rewriting the inner voice, but I wanted to give some examples. And then if Rebel has any, she can definitely throw them our way as well. Most of us are kinder to strangers, would you agree? We're usually nicer to people we don't know. But
is.
instead of saying failing, you can say, no, I'm learning. When it says you're not enough, or you feel that feeling, right? And the feeling of not enough, in my experience, feels like you're getting very small, or you're needing to get very small. It can also come up as being angry or upset, because if someone pushes you on your boundary and you're working on it, it can make you angry. But when it says you're not enough, you can say, I'm becoming. I'm becoming. And that's always a powerful one. This one's really good. When it says, you should have figured it out by now, Rebel. Like, you should have figured it out. Should have figured it out.
You always do this.
Yeah. Why do you always do this? You should have
Damn
figured it
it.
out. You can say, there's no timeline for who I'm becoming.
Is beautiful.
There's no timeline for who I'm becoming. You have your whole life. I mean, I understand that that could vary person to person, but you do, and that's what you're here for. And taking out all toxicity is not what we're going for, right? We are going for you learning and navigating your own self and learning to talk to yourself in a way that is beneficial for you, so you can grow and you can start living an authentic life, the life that you really want, instead of the life that many of us just live because that's where we fell. Do you have anything else to add, Rebel?
I don't think so.
No. All right, guys. Well, there are some classes as well. I'll end with this over on YouTube. Rebel is a teacher in our community on coaching and life stuffs as well as paranormal. We do have a lot of the classes over on YouTube for you to review as well as the podcast, of course. But if you do like classes that have anything to do with this kind of stuff, we do classes all through the week within our community, which is the Authentic Life Collective. So you can find us all over, or you can find me or Rebel, and we can get you there. So thanks for joining me tonight, Rebel.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. We'll talk soon.